Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Let's make welcome this morning Evangelist Libby Fannin from Moorhead, Kentucky. Come on, put your hands together.
Amen. You may be seated. What an honor to be here this morning when I saw that they were going to honor this woman of God. Well, I didn't plan to do this. I could not do it at a distance because she means so much to me. I will never forget. It's been probably, how long have you done Women of Valor? Since 2000. So 17 years. This will be 17 years or 18 years. 18 years ago, we did Women of Valor here. It was her very first one, and we were honored to be a part of that. And I think we've been a part of everyone since then, except the one year that Pastor Tracy had a stroke and we weren't able to be here, but we've been a part of it since the inception, and we're so thankful for that. But I can remember a couple years before that, we did our first women's conference ever, and it was called Gritty Women of God in Columbus, Ohio. And from that, we made a connection with Pastor Sharon, and God just knit our hearts together. It's been a God connection. You know, there's some people are in your life for a season. Some people are in your life for a reason. And some people are in your life for eternity because it's a God connection. It's a covenant connection. And so I've always felt that that's exactly what we had and we do have together. And so 60 is a milestone. Amen. It's a very important milestone. And as I was reading some prophecies for the year, and I just want to share this one. Many of you probably will know the name, Patricia King. She is under James Goal, and she wrote Women on the Front Lines and Men on the Front Lines were a couple of the books that she had written. But she's very powerful, and she'd give a prophetic word for this year, and I thought it's just like Pastor Sharon. She's not going to let any prophetic word leave her out. So she turned 60 this year so she could get in on this, okay? Because it's for a word, a prophetic word for 60 and older. I'm convinced she read it. She said, no, not what, you have to wait on me. It can't come out until I get there. And because she is competitive like that, you know, when it comes to the kingdom of God, she's not going to let anybody get over on her. She is hungry for God. She pursues the Lord with everything that's in her, and she wants everything he has. But this word was powerful when I read it, and it excited me because I entered my 60s a couple years back. And so I fit in this category too. But it says, prophetic word that she gave for this year. She said, I am launching seniors on the front lines. I see a company of radical believers in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond arising in these days. This generation will experience personal revival that will reignite their passion and their purpose. They are full of wisdom, zeal, and they carry dreams yet to be fulfilled. Their latter glory will be greater than the former, walking with and empowering the younger generation with encouragement. They are gathering together and redefining the term senior. They will be sought after by the generations. They will be honored and respected. They will rise into new places of predominance and leadership. They will produce more fruit in their latter with less effort. Financial increase and sudden provisional surprises will come to them. Favor will rest upon this generation. A wave of healing and health and rejuvenation will visit them, and they will be filled with joy that overflows. Can you give God praise this morning? and receive that word of the Lord. Amen. Receive it this morning. If you're not there, you're coming there. Amen. And so I thought of, as Apostle Bonnie and Pastor Ernie and Pastor Tracy and myself and many others that are here this morning, there's a new level of anointing that's coming upon God's people. Come on, there's fresh power. There's fresh anointing. There's a rejuvenating, amen, a sudden provisional surprise that's going to come to them. And you know what? That is so true. That is so true. I just experienced that last week when God began to move. Fresh provisional surprises. God began to wake me up a few months ago, and he's told me there was a contract that I was in with someone, and it was supposed to end. And so I thought, well, you know, it's been good. God's blessed me through it. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, God awoke me, and he said, I want you to read your contract again. I said, okay, because then I already sent out a notice that this was ending at a certain time. This was the end of that deal. And I got to reading the contract, and they had overlooked a clause in there, which resulted in a $33,000 woo, benefit for me. Amen. So last week, guess what, Libby Fannin got in the mail? $33,000 check. Surprising provision coming, amen, in my year that I'll be turning 62. I said, Lord, I thank you. You added another year. Let me tell you, God can add some things to your life. You don't have, listen, we're not limited. I don't like the word limited income. I'm not limited, amen. I don't let the devil put my boundaries, amen. God enlarges your territory. He strengthens your stake. He begins to do some things that God says, I can bless you. Amen. And I can make you prosperous. Even when Goshen had light, amen, when Egypt had darkness, amen, they had honey and everything when there was a famine. God's going to bless his people with Trump, without Trump. Amen. It don't make any difference. I like President Trump, but I'm not counting on President Trump. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on the economy of heaven. I'm counting on what God said, that he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He was my provider. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my encourager. He's my strength. He's my peace. He's everything I'll ever need. And I'm counting on him today. Hallelujah. And so I remember when God began to speak to me several years ago, and he told me to go full-time in ministry. And I said, Lord, I went to nursing school so that I could be a provider, so my husband could be in full-time ministry. And now you're calling me into full-time ministry. So when I go, I'm not my husband's dependent, although he is my provider and he takes care of me. I'm not taking anything away from that. But I said, I'm not becoming his dependent, and I'm not the church's dependent. I'm your dependent. You're going to be my provider. You're going to take care of me. I know that you're going to provide for me. And can I tell you, God has blessed me abundantly. He has taken, I stand before you today debt free. I stand before you today knowing, amen, that when tomorrow comes, great shall be my strength. He said, as your day is, so shall your strength be. Don't worry about tomorrow. You're not there yet. When you get there, God will take care of you. Somebody needs to hear that today. You're worrying about things that you have no business worrying about. God's going to take care of it. He's already in your tomorrow. And so, when I saw that she was being honored, I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this at a distance. And I didn't come to preach today. I didn't ask to preach today. They said, if you're coming, will you preach? I said, I will preach, but I'm not coming to preach. I'm coming to honor the woman of God because she deserves it. She's worthy of honor. She's worthy of double honor. Amen. And Prophet Tim, I honor you this morning as her husband and as her co-laborer here in the vineyard. What a blessing you are in her life. And I honor you today, sir, for what the office that you stand in and the blessing that you are to her life, to this house, and to the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, if you'll turn your Bibles with me, We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Honor, of course, Apostle Bonnie and Pastor Ernie and my husband today. And any of them could have took this platform today. But I count it an honor to stand here this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting with verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, that ye inhabitants of Israel, that thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, it's God's." Look at your neighbor and say, "That's why you can't fight back. It's not your fight. It's not your fight." Amen. So today, whatever is visible, whatever the enemy is doing, reverse it. Say, reverse it. Whatever it looks like, reverse it. Come on, because the enemy, what you're seeing is a knee-jerk reaction from the enemy in what God is doing in the spirit. He's trying to discourage you because he knows he's got a short time to work. Amen. So when Herod was killing all of the male babies that were being born, a champion was being born. The very opposite was happening. And I want to tell you this morning, whatever you're seeing in the natural, you need to reverse it in the spirit and know that God is working. Amen. So you cannot fight back. Some of you are being attacked so hard right now. One attack after another attack after another attack. And sometimes you say, "God, am I being punished?" But you're not being punished. You're being marked. Tell somebody, "I'm being marked." See, when you become hungry and you begin to thirst after God, and you begin to draw near to God, it causes the enemy to increase the attacks on your life. And why does it do that? Because the closer you get to God, the closer you get to Him, the more attention you draw to God, and the more glory is going to start coming out of your life. Amen? And so the more the glory that you bring to God, the enemy marks you. And it says, listen, you got to hit them, and you got to hit them now. You got to stop them right now. You got to discourage them right now. You've got to betray them right now. You got to hit them with sickness right now. Because if you don't hit them right now, people's going to start seeing their life, and it's going to draw glory to God. It's going to draw attention to God. So you've got to stop them right now. Amen. You got to destroy finances right now. And yet, in spite of all that the devil has done, you're here this morning, lifting your hands and praising the Lord. Come on, giving God glory. You're still here in church this morning paying your tithes. You're still here lifting your voice. You're still here lifting your hands. Amen. You're still here giving God praise. You're like Paul. You said, "None of these things has moved me. Nothing that's happened has moved me." Come on, I know what's happened, but I still am determined. I've still got a made-up mind. I'm still not wavering in my actions, and I'm not wavering in my attitude, because I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep everything that I've committed up to Him. And then he followed up with this scripture in verse 16. He said, "Tomorrow I want you to go down against them." Woo! What if tomorrow go out against them? Tomorrow. What if tonight was the last night that you would battle the thing you're battling today? What if tonight was your last time of laying on a couch of tears, crying about some things that's happened? What if tomorrow everything changed? What if tomorrow, look at somebody and say, "What if tomorrow God decides to whip your enemies. Come on, what if tomorrow God decided to release your increase? What if tomorrow God decided to save that child that you've been praying for all these years? What if tomorrow God decided to heal that sickness that you've been dealing with year after year after year? What if tomorrow God began to shower favor upon your life and open doors of opportunity that you thought would never open in your life? What if tomorrow things begin to shift in your favor and God began to make your enemies your footstool? What if tomorrow God began to turn some things around and the things that were working against you had to start working for you in the name of Jesus? What if tomorrow, look at your neighbor and say, what if tomorrow was the ultimate battle and you win? How would you be acting this morning? How would you be praising God this morning? How would you be shouting this morning? How would you do it if you knew today was the last day of your bondage? How would you be acting this morning if you knew this was the last day that you'd see that enemy and after today you would see him no more forever? What if? What kind of praise would you be giving God if you knew that tomorrow? The scripture tells us that in 24 hours, we've seen in the scripture time after time, in 24 hours things changed. One writer said, by this time tomorrow, by the time the sun be hot, you shall have help. I remember God giving me a message on that one day. One night I preached it. The next day, they were working on our church. One of our older men, he was up on the doing the roofing. He started having chest pain. It was about high noon, right when the sun was hot. In the middle of July, we rushed him to the ER. The doctors came out, said, we need to talk to your wife, to the woman, to the wife of this man. I went in the room with her. He looked at her, and he said, I hate to tell you, but your husband has had the widowmaker, and there's nothing we can do. I'm taking these heels off. Amen. You know I preach my shoes off, don't you? Amen. And I said, can we please go in and see him? I walked in. I walked over to the stretcher. He looked up and he took my hand. He said, Sissy, it's hot. Because I just preached this time tomorrow, by the time the sun's hot, you're going to have help. He said, Sissy, it's hot. Can I tell you, the next day that man was released from the hospital, he built two new homes after that. He built a new church after that. And we just buried him last month, 90-some years old. Amen. 20-some years. He lived because in 24 hours, God said, by the time the sun's hot, your help will be on the way. Look at somebody, say, help's on the way. Helps on the way. Hallelujah. So we need to start believing God and praising God for our family, believing that we're going to hear a different report tomorrow. Come on, tell somebody you're going to hear a different report tomorrow. Maybe they said you couldn't get a loan, but you're going to get a different report tomorrow. Maybe they said that the doctor's report said you got cancer, but you know what? You can get a different report tomorrow. Oh, yeah. We just prayed last week. A woman in our church, her son was diagnosed with cancer of the brain. And she came to church and she said, Pastor, they say my grandson's got cancer on the brain. But she said, 7 years ago, they told me I had 2 weeks to live with cancer. And I'm alive today and cancer free. And the same God that healed me can heal my grandson. Amen. We said yes. We laid hands on her and began to pray. Last week she came back. She said, Pastor Libby, they made a mistake. They say it's just an infection. They give him some antibiotics and send him home, but there's no sign of cancer. I want to tell you, God can turn it around. Do you believe he can change a report? Look at somebody and say, God can shift things in your favor. Your kids might be acting all kinds of crazy today, but tomorrow there could be a shift in their character. He can put his instructions in their mind in the night season. They can wake up tomorrow acting different. They don't know why, but their appetite's been changed. That addiction of alcohol and drugs, that craving is gone, and they're hungry for thirsting after righteousness. Come on, somebody. The things they once loved, they now hate. And the things they once hated, they now love. Come on, it looked like they was going down, but somewhere in the midnight hour, God unlocked their prison doors. And now instead of going down, they're on their way up in the name of Jesus. Because you had enough faith to praise him today. Verse 17 said this. Said, go down tomorrow. Verse 17 said, because you won't need to fight in this battle. Woo! Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah, O praise, and Jerusalem? Somebody shout, just be still. And know that he's God. Now, you know, we read those scriptures, and I'm from Kentucky, and my English is a little different. My speech doth betray me sometimes. I'll never forget when we were going on our first mission trip, and we stopped going to Popeye's on the way to, I was with Pastor Sharon, we was going to Popeye's, going to the airport, and I walked in, and they all ordered their food, and there was no problem. But when I ordered my food, she said, where are you from? What's that matter? I still want chicken. Chicken, 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 chicken. I must have said chicken different or something. I don't know. She said, where are you from? What's that dialect? That you're, okay, your accent. I'm like, accent? I didn't know I had an accent, but okay. But anyway, sometimes we just need to know that it doesn't matter. God understands our cry. He understands what we're saying. Amen. And so I can remember how God began to turn some things around. How many knows that names mean something? And so I said that to say this. I may not pronounce the names exactly right when I was reading all that scripture. See, the devil took my mind. I thought, why is I talking about chicken? But and I'm not even hungry. But all of the names, he didn't just want to take up space. It wasn't just to fill in some blanks because he needed to make the chapter extra long. You know, there was a reason. In biblical days, names meant something. Amen. They meant something. And because those names had a meaning, they said that Jehaziel was standing there and he begins to get a word from the Lord. Do you know something? Your praise can cause a prophetic voice to be released. I said, your praise can cause a prophetic voice to be released. And God's about to raise up some people that nobody's ever heard of before that's going to have a prophetic voice because they've got a praise that could not be silenced by all of the things that's come against them, by their troubles, amen. And because you've been praising him in the midst of crazy circumstances, God's going to make you a prophetic voice even to your family. Say, I'm going to be a prophetic voice, even to my family. My family, your family that didn't even want to go to church, they're going to want to go to church with you. Amen. People that you thought was beyond the reach of the blood of Jesus Christ are going to be swimming in the grace of God. Because why? Because God's going to make your voice a prophetic voice in their life because you refused to give up and you kept praising when it looked like there wasn't anything to praise him about. Hallelujah. And so he said, listen, I'm going to tell you, My name, Jehaziel, it means that I've seen God and I've got a word for you. I've got something to say to you. He said, I've seen God and I've heard God and I've got a word for you. He said, but just in case that's not enough, let me tell you what my daddy's name means. He said, my daddy's name means Jehovah remembers. He said, see, I come from a lineage of people that every time they prayed, God remembers their prayers. I come to tell somebody this morning, God's not forgot your prayers. God remembers every prayer you prayed. He remembers every tear you've cried. And people might have forgot what you've done, but God has not forgot your labors of love. I thought when I saw Melissa here today, God is not for God. All those words you sent out over He's Alive Radio, He has not forgot the prayers that you prayed. He's not forgot the times that you went into foreign countries and you delivered the word of God. He's not forgotten the money that you left on the table because you decided that to be in the kingdom of God was worth more than being in the kingdom of the world. God has not forgot. Jehovah remembers. He remembers. He remembers. Listen, don't you ever discount your legacy. Don't you ever discount your lineage of where you've come from. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you need to wipe your tears and know that God has not forgotten you. Hallelujah. And then he said, and if my granddaddy, if my daddy's name's not enough, let me tell you who my granddaddy is. His name means Jehovah builds up. He said, anybody who's been broken down, anybody who's had anything destroyed in your life, anybody who's hurting on the inside, anybody who needs reconstruction in your spirit, God said, tell them I'm in the house today to rebuild them. I can give them beauty for ashes. Come on. I can give them a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I can repair the years that the cankerworm, the palmerworm, and the locust has destroyed. Every wall that the devil tore down around your life, God said, I can put another hedge of protection around you. Come on, God said, I can build you back up. Hallelujah. You got to know that you are a descendant of He who builds up. Say, He who builds up. God is going to build you up. God is going to remember you. And you're going to see God in a new way. And you're going to hear Him in a new way that you have never done before. Do you hear me this morning? But if the granddaddy ain't enough, let me tell you what my great-granddaddy can do. His name means Jehovah sweeps away. Woo! How many knows that the enemy is always there around your feet? I like that anointing of Dan. It says that it bites the heels of the horse. You know, that it nips at that thing. It's trying to destroy you all the time. And let me tell you, Jehovah means, his name meant the God that sweeps up. Listen, God can sweep your path this morning. He can move everything out of your way. Come on. He can move all of that clutter that's trying to trip you up. That enemy that's nipping at your heels. He told the enemy, on your bust you shall, on your belly you shall go and eat dust for the rest of your life. Amen. The enemy nipping at your heels. But God said, I want you to know your praise is a broom. Hallelujah. And the one thing you got to know is when you begin to praise God. Oh, it's easy to praise Him up. But can you praise Him when you're down? My praise is a broom. I mean, I can lift it high, but I can move some things out of my way. I can sweep the devil right out of my house. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. Hallelujah. I remember a couple years ago, the enemy had attacked me with almost like a spirit of infirmity. In 4 months, I had 3 surgeries. And he thought that he had me, you know. I'm telling you, it was a spirit. It really was a spirit of infirmity. You can tell when it's just natural things going on, and when there's a spirit hovering. I mean, hovering. I mean, it was one thing after another, after another. And so I had even moved out of our bedroom into the guest room because I was so sick. I had a broken arm. I'd had gallbladder surgery. I had a tumor taken out. All these things was happening in 4 months' time, three surgeries. And, you know, there's nothing like being wheeled through some operating doors three times before you never get over one. You're going back through the doors again, and then you're going back through the doors again. And I remember one morning my husband, he come in that bedroom. I thought for a minute he had lost his mind. Amen. He had a broom in his hand and he was praying in the Holy Ghost, and he walked around. He was swinging. He was sweeping the walls. He was sweeping over behind the bed. He was sweeping out the door. He went through the hall. He was sweeping in the hall. Amen. He got to the kitchen. He was sweeping the kitchen. He was praying. He was telling that devil, "You get out of here." I heard him open the kitchen door. He was out on the porch. He said, "Get off of this hill and get out of my property." 4 minutes, I was like, "God, you need to calm him down, because the neighbors are going to call the police on us. They're going to say there's a man crazy down here." But you know what? His praise become a broom. His praise become a broom. Amen. Come on, sometimes you got to praise him. The Bible says this attack, this affliction is but for a moment. This light affliction, but it's working for me an exceeding weight of glory. If you'll praise him when it looks like everything's down, it looks like the enemy's right on your heels, if you'll begin to praise him, God will sweep that enemy right out of your life. Amen. Come on, tell somebody, God's about to sweep that enemy out of your house. He's about to sweep him out of your job. He's about to sweep him out of your marriage. He's about to sweep him out of your health. Amen. I know somebody needs to just agree with this word today and say, some things are getting ready to be swept out of my life. And if you don't like my granddaddy and you don't like my great-granddaddy and my daddy, how about my great-great-granddaddy? He said his name means, "I'm a gift to God." Woo! Hallelujah. See, some of you woke up this morning, you're listening to the devil. He's saying, "You ain't nothing. You never gonna be nothing. You're broke. You're sick. You're struggling." Amen. And you're going to church. You don't even have a reason to go to church. What are you going to church for? What's God done for you? Why are you messing with that? Why are you doing all that? Well, why do you think he's messing with you today? Why? Because he knew today was the day that you was going to learn that if you didn't quit and if you didn't let go, that tomorrow you win. Woo! Say, tomorrow we win. You need to tell him, "Devil, I woke up like this morning. I woke up the head and not the tail. I woke up above and not beneath. Come on, I woke up the conqueror and not the conquered. Come on, I woke up, amen, being blessed and highly favored. I woke up victorious. I woke up this morning." Let somebody say, "I woke up like this." See, he attacks you because he wants to steal your joy. And if he can steal your joy, he has access to your spirit. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the New Living Translation said it like this. It said, "Go enjoy choice food, sweet drinks, and share gifts to those who have nothing prepared, because this is a sacred day of the Lord. Don't be dejected and don't be sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." See, actually, joy in that verse is a military term. It's a military term. And it means this: your joy is a defense against the attack of the enemy. Whew! Your joy is a defense against the attack of the enemy. Your joy is actually a wall. So the enemy is trying to tear down your wall. Amen. Listen, but I'm not talking about my happy, because my happy is rooted in my emotions. And so the devil can take my happy, but he can't take my joy. Tell somebody, he can have my happy, but he is not getting my joy, because my joy is rooted in the Lord. My defense is rooted in the Lord. My joy is rooted in who I know and not what I'm going through. And this is the year I'm going to be filled to overflow with joy. That means Habakkuk said, the Lord is my strength, my personal army, my personal bravery, my invincible army. The Lord of hosts is his name. He makes my feet like hinds feet. He makes me to walk, not stand still in terror, but to make spiritual progress upon the high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. He said, you know what? He's my joy, and he makes me, I make progress even when all hell's breaking loose. That's what he said. He said, he is my army. He is my defense. It's in knowing who he is. He said, it looks like ain't nothing going on around this place. He said, nothing's given. The figs, the trees are barren, the fields are barren, everything. Habakkuk said, it looks like it's a mess. But, oh, God, you are my strength, my personal. He said, it's personal now, devil. You made it personal. He's my personal strength, my invincible army. The Lord of hosts is his name, and I'm going to make progress. I'm not going to be pushed back. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to stand still. I'm going to make progress upon these high places. We always think high places is up on the shouting. And no, trouble, suffering, and responsibility. Amen. Glory to God. God gives us something the world can't give, but it can't take it away. So now here in this scripture, they went out and they started giving God praise. Say crazy praise. Crazy praise. They were giving him crazy praise. Verse 22 said, when they started praising and singing praise and shouting, the Lord set ambushes against Judah, against those who came against Judah. Notice, they came against Judah. They came against the praise. The devil messes up when he starts trying to stop your praise. Because that praise belongs to God. Come on, that praise belongs to God. And when he starts interfering with your relationship with God, whoo, that's when he has overstepped his boundaries. We may be outmatched. We may be outnumbered. And we may not be a match for the enemy that's coming against us. But God said, in the face of things that are too big for you, and in the face of things that you are no match for, I want you to praise me in the midst of that. That's when I want you to praise me. When it's so much that you can't handle it. Amen. That's when I want you to praise me. Glory to God. I remember when Sister Faith, 7 years ago, when they gave her that diagnosis, and we went into her room. They was giving her IV fluids. We run it through the, literally put the Bible right there. Let it run right through. We kept praise and worship music going. We did all those things. And I know they thought we was crazy. But you know, you got to have crazy praise. We kept praise going. She would praise the Lord. She never whined and cried and buckled down. She never let any of that stuff happen. Matter of fact, she went out and bought her a new car. A new Dodge Charger nonetheless. Amen. She witnessed. She said, and when I get out of here, she said, I'm painting my house. And I'm planting some flowers, and I'm going to take care of my great grandbaby. You know, she was up there. I mean, even in the face of a bad doctor's report, she was making plans to die. She wasn't saying, I got to get things in order. She wasn't saying, I got to get my will done. No, she was making plans to live in the name of Jesus. You got to make plans to live, even in when you're looking at, looks like everything around you is speaking death. You got to get ready to live. Say, get ready to live. Get ready to live. Amen. Because when you start giving crazy praise confuses the enemy. It does. It confuses the enemy. Amen. It's a frequency that it drives devils crazy. I'm telling you, praise is a frequency that drives devils crazy. They can't handle it. In the back, and I'm hurrying. I ain't got no clock. Well, I don't see one. Oh, I can sit back there, but I can't see the numbers, and that's okay. Glory to God, but I'll hurry. But, you know, I used to fly a lot more than I do now, and in the back of the seat of one of the, you know, them things them that you can read, I forget what they're called, flight, sky miles or whatever. Anyway, they had some stories in the back of them. And it was a true story. They was talking about different kinds of planes and what, you know, the altitudes and how you can fly. And they were telling an old story and how that this one plane was a twin-engine plane and said that this man was going to take this twin-engine plane up. He had never flown one like that, so he wanted to take it up. So they told him, they said, make sure you don't take it into this in a higher altitude than you're supposed to because they're not built for it. And he said, okay. So anyway, he's flying that twin-engine plane. He gets up there. He's flying it around. And a little while, he starts hearing it's cutting out, just cutting out, just cutting out. And he sees the needles. He's losing power. And he said, I don't know what to do. And there's no place to land. And so he radios back to the tower. He says, we've got some kind of a mechanical problem, and it's making some kind of noise. I can't understand it. I don't know. I've checked everything. He said, what's it doing? He said, well, I can't explain it. I've never heard this kind of sound before, but I've never flown this kind of plane. He said, well, let me hear it. So he puts, you know, his phone or the speaker down. Wasn't a cell phone, it was a speaker. He put it down there. He said, listen to it. And he was going, he said, okay, he said, I'm going to tell you what to do. He said, I want you to take that plane up to a certain, told him the altitude. He said, man, these are not built for that. I can't take it that high. He said, listen to me. Take the plane up. He said, I told you I'm in a twin-engine plane. We can't go that high. He said, listen, you've got two choices. You can either take it up or you're coming down. Since you put it like that, we're going to take it up. He said when he took that plane up, everything in that plane shook. He thought it was going to come apart. But once he got to a certain altitude, it leveled out, but the noise stopped. He radioed back, and he said, well, I don't know what it did, but we did make it through that sound barrier. He said the noise has stopped. He said, what do I do now? He said, okay. He told him how far to go. He said, now bring it on back down, and when you can, bring it in. So they did. When he landed it, he said he got out. Here come the mechanics running out. And they took the hood off that plane. And he looked at it. He said, yep. He said, what is it? He said, there's some dead rats in there. He said, rats? He said, yeah. He said, these old planes, we don't fly them very often. And rats get in there and build their nest. He said, but, he said, And when you get them a certain height, rats go crazy and they start gnawing on hot wires. And he said they were chewing on the wires. But he said there's an altitude you can go to that a rat can't live in. Well, you know where my mind went right away, don't you? Woo! I said, God, I know some people like that. They're like rats. They like to gnaw on stuff. But if you can just get high enough in the spirit, if you can take your praise high enough, it'll kill some rats. And you've got to get your praise high. You've got to get yourself high to where it kills the things. You listen, you're either going to come down or you're going to go higher. Look at somebody and say, I'm going higher this morning. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. Amen, because I believe my God's bigger than any circumstance I'm facing. Amen. Some of you need to start practicing crazy praise. Come on. See, the enemy, he thought all of the attacks that he's brought on you, you were supposed to end on your face broken, crying, whining. That's what he wants. But here you are this morning, instead of crying, you're lifting your hands, you're praising God. Amen. And the devil says you're crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. I'm crazy. I lost my mind. I got the mind of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm crazy because I believe that he's able, amen, to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask, think. See, a natural response to an attack is to become fearful. Amen. But that's why we need the supernatural power of God. Amen. Not to do what is natural, not to fight the enemy. The battle is not yours. Amen. But when the devil hits you, you need to say, wait just a minute. Go get my daddy. I'm going to go get my daddy. I was listening to Clady Keith. I don't know how many of you know Clady Keith. He's probably in his 80s right now, but he's one of the most powerful men revivalist in the Kentucky area. And I was listening to him this week, and I thought, boy, that fits right with what I'm going to be preaching on. He said that he was in, I believe it was in Haiti, and he was talking about the prayer of the Father, our Father which art in heaven. And he said how powerful that prayer is. But he was telling, he said, he was over there, and he said this little boy had gotten hurt. His knee was bleeding, and he'd been playing, and he'd hurt his knee, and it was just pouring the blood. And he said, we was with a lot of dignitaries and big leaders over there. And he said his dad was one of the main speakers there. Even though he was from Haiti, he was you know, pouring into some American pastors and teaching them. And he said, this little boy come flying through there hollering, Abba, 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 Abba. And he said, in all of that big important meeting, he said, that man heard that voice. He stopped that meeting and he went running to see that little boy and picked him up in his arms. Amen. And begin to kiss his knee and begin to make it better. And he said, God spoke to me and said, if he being earthly knows how to love on his child and how to come to the rescue when he hears Abba, Father, oh Father. He said, if my people would learn to call on me and cry out to me, I will come running to their rescue. I'm telling you, we can't fight the enemy, but we can run to our Father. Say, run to our Father. And we need to tell the devil, listen, You're messing with the wrong one this morning. I may not be able to handle you, but my daddy can. Amen. My daddy can. Isaiah said, I saw him high and lifted up. I'm going to ask the praise team to come. I saw him high and lifted up in the year that King Uzziah died, and his train filled the temple. The train of his robe. In the ancient days, the ancient kings, the train of their robe was symbolic of all the victories they had won. Every time that they would defeat a king, they would take a piece of the cloth from that king and they would sew it to the back of their robe. And the reason that God's train filled the temple is there's never been an attack against God's people or against the people of God that God's ever lost the battle. And he never will. Say, he never will. Stand to your feet. He never will. The Bible says, as they began to praise the Lord, he set an ambushment against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly destroy them. And the Bible says that when God got done with them, they turned on each other. And God said, tell them I'm about to send some shockwaves into the enemy's camp. A frequency that the enemy will turn on themselves. I'm going to end with this. Sometimes we feel like we are at our end. Feels like every attack has brought us to our demise. But Mark Twain said it like this. He said, the end is not the end. In fact, END means effort never dies. And if you get no, remember, no is not really no. It's just the next opportunity. God wants to give you more opportunities this morning. He wants you to know that it's not over. I know the battle's been hot. I know it feels like it's too much for you to handle. It is. It is. But if you'll keep praising him, he'll give you a word. He'll give you a prophetic voice. He'll rebuild in your life. He'll sweep the enemy out of your way. And he will open the eyes of your understanding to the hope of your calling in Christ Jesus. He is your Father. And he loves you this morning. And he desires to bless you beyond your struggle today. Did you know that God's not afraid of your struggle? He's not. You can never go so far that the arm of God can't reach you. You can't sin enough. You can't be mean enough. You can't do enough drugs to cause God to stop loving you. He's waiting to bring you the victory this morning. You won't even have to fight. If you'll just acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. He'll lead you through. Everything that you're fighting this morning will have to bow and surrender at the name of Jesus. He can make all the things that look like they have destroyed you work together for your good. Can I tell you, those surgeries that I had and the things that happened in my life actually turned out to work an exceeding weight of glory. It wasn't glorious when it was happening. I didn't understand it. And so many nights I sing, the only real peace that I have, Lord, is in you. Because when the lights would go out, the torment would come. Maybe you've never experienced that. And sometimes people up here don't want you to know that they've ever experienced it. But we do. We do. We're no different from you. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not by any good thing that we've done. Matter of fact, I think sometimes we're some of the most broken. Because then you know what it is to be mended. Oh, how can I tell you can make it if I never had to make it? Or tell you, hold on. Hold on. You ain't ever had to hold on, sissy. How can I tell you he's a friend, sticks closer than a brother? Have you ever climbed in the bed at night to your lonely self? Yeah, I have. Have you ever had everything taken and have nothing but the clothes on your back? Yeah, I have. That's how I can say he's my provider. He's my healer. He's my friend. He loves me with an undying love. But he's waiting for me to run. Abba, I need you. This battle's too much for me. I'm outnumbered. But I surrender to you. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to watch you fight that battle. I'm going to praise you in the midst of the storm. I'm going to praise you in the midst of things that I don't understand. If you're here this morning, God wants you to know that he's here to fight that battle you've been fighting for so long. So long. I feel the Spirit of God settling down right now. I feel the Spirit of God wooing right now someone who feels like you are at the end, but you are not at your end. You are not. You say, Pastor Libby, I've failed 1,000 times. No, you just found 1,000 ways that didn't work. But he has the way that will work. If you're here this morning, I want to pray for you as they sing this morning. Would you come? Would you come? Come on. Let all the earth rejoice. Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, see how great. How great is our God? People are going to look at your life. They're going to say, how great? How great is our God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome word, Pastor Libby. We sure appreciate you and your ministry. The Lord is just in this house this morning. I wonder if we could just lift our hands for just a moment before we switch the order of the service. You're an awesome God. You're my righteousness. We worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As they're singing, I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come at this time. We're going to prepare our hearts to give a special love offering to our guest speaker today. And let God speak to your heart richly this morning. The Lord continue to speak this morning that you're going to dwell this year in houses that you did not buy, and you're going to have lands that you did not pay for. And God is going to give a great return this year, 30, 60, and preferably a 100-fold return in this lifetime. This is the year of 5777, the battle between heaven and hell. But I believe it's not the battle between heaven and hell in a literal sense, because hell has already been defeated. The Bible says in John 16:11 that the prince of this world is judged. The devil has no say-so in your life. You say, he's been chasing me around the room. Would he ought to catch you? We have power over him today. Let God speak to your heart right now, because what you release out of your hand this morning, God is about ready to open up the windows of heaven and release your blessing. There is a season in our lives where we receive blessings. But God continues to say that this is the set season. This is the set season for the body of Christ this year. And the set season means that what you've been waiting on for a long time, those rat traps are full. And the devil no longer is going to take anything from you. But God is about ready to return everything that the enemy has stolen away. It's a time of restoration and restitution. Could we give the Lord a hand of praise as we give unto Him this morning? Pastor Tracy, I'm going to ask you to come and ask the blessing upon the offering this morning, if you would. And that's going to be followed by my stepdaughter Melissa is going to come and ask the blessing upon the food.
Okay. Pastor Sharon, I honor you today. This is a significant time to honor you here on your 60th birthday. And I feel like I have a word. Brother Tim, may I speak this word? This is a very significant time. And when I was thinking about your birthday, and I was thinking about 60, of course, women don't like to tell their age, but it's significant for you. And I thought about David. And the scripture says, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants went with him down and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. You know, in the history of this word that I'm reading right now, David was 60 years old. History bears it out. And he said that Ishbi-Nob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. So, at 60, David entered this war at Gath to kill with his men four last giants. It was a significant time for David at 60. And then the scripture says, these four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and his servants. A season in David's life came at 60. And I feel like that this, your birthday, is a significant time and a new season in your life. Though the giant came with a new sword, a new device, a new way to distract David, but he could not kill David. So, prophetically this morning, I believe God is going to give you a season. And the giants are going to be gone. Come on. The giants are going to be gone. And David, his son, his mentored son, Abishai, came and slew that giant and said, go home, David, and be light to Israel. And just relax. God's got it all in hand. Ha! Everybody say, God's got it all in control. Father, we thank you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this significant time that we have come to honor this great woman of God. God, you have come to assure her that your grace is sufficient for this time and this season that she has come into. I pray you bless this church greatly. Bless the work and the workers of this church. Move upon them that they may see that God has something special for them under the leadership of these pastors today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Church said amen.
What a pleasure it is to be with you guys this morning and to be in the company of these folks. And I've missed so many of you, but we get to get together downstairs. Everyone's invited to come and eat. From what I understand, there's plenty of food for everyone. So on the occasion of my mom's birthday, we get to share some time together. That's really awesome. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing for us today, not only spiritual food, but food that's going to benefit the body and time to rejoice with each other and reconnect. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless the food and those who have labored to bring it together, and bless Mom on her birthday. Amen.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."